Okay, we're holding on. Erev and Daf Yud Zayin with Tav Yud Zayin. I'm an Aleph. Just to clarify from yesterday's Daf, I feel like the last sugya that I went over, I didn't explain as clearly as I could have. We were essentially discussing there are different types of partitions. Some partitions are proper partitions made up of horizontal components and vertical components, like, you know, a gate or any solid wall, really. But if you have a partition made up of uniquely vertical or uniquely horizontal components, that's what we were discussing. Now, that's considered an inferior partition. So what is the extent, to what extent do we allow someone to partition off an area with either an entirely vertical partition or an entirely horizontal partition? What we said was that each person basically gets either whatever, you know, he needs, the minimum space that he needs for what he owns, or each person gets two se'ah, right? Two beit se'ah. And then once you have a caravan, you get six beit se'ah, because that is the status of an inferior partition. So when you have an inferior partition, you just can't use the full extent of the, you can't use it like it's a normal partition. Now, what we basically paskin lahalacha is that one and two people get two beit se'ah, but three people get anything that they need, which is a little bit contradictory because it follows two different shitas. Now, what we say by you get anything you need is you get up to the amount that you don't leave two beit se'ah entirely empty, but you're allowed to have up to anything that you need and leaving, let's say, one and a half beit se'ah entirely empty. That still is a permitted area closed off by inferior partitions. Okay, now we're going to continue. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Shalosha Bechamesh Asurin, right? So if you have three people in an area of five Beit Se'ah, that there is a case where that is Asur B'sheva Mutarin. But if three people had seven Beit Se'ah, then it could be Mutar. Meaning there is that odd case where if you gave three people five Beit Se'ah, it's forbidden to use any of that area, where if you gave them seven, it would be permitted to use that area. What is that case? Amru le amarav hachi. Amarav hachi. Did Rav say this? Amar lehu, all right, the Nevi'im v'ktivim de amarav hachi. Yeah, by the Torah, by the Nevi'im and the Ktuvim. Rav actually said this. Amarav ashi, my kushi. Rav says, what's so problematic? I know exactly what case he's talking about. Dilma hachi kamar. This is the case that he was talking about. Hutrichu l'sheish v'kifu b'sheva. If they needed six beit se'ah and they surrounded it with seven, afil b'sheva mutarin, then they're allowed to use, all seven, right? Because that's only one excess beit se'ah where they get up to two excess beit se'ah that they're allowed to partition off. Lo tzrichu el chamesh kivu b'sheva, but if they only needed five and then they partitioned off seven, and that's two full empty beit se'ah they are not using, afil b'chamesh asurin, right? Then their partition is just too big and they're not even allowed to use the five that they needed. Ve'ela hadi katani, but that was the bright tatar ubivad shelo yeh beit satayim panui, my love, panui la'adam, right? And, but wait 1 second, is that really true? Then we teach that as long as there aren't two empty beit se'ah, meaning as long as there isn't a beit se'ah that is completely empty of people, as long as there aren't two beit se'ah that are completely empty of people, right? And so it stands to reason that if there are three people there, then each of them could take one area of two beit se'ah, and they would definitely be using six beit se'ah. What's the case where three people only need five beit se'ah? Doesn't make sense. They should have a minimum of six beit se'ah. Lo, pardon me, Caleb. No, we weren't talking about if two beit se'ah is completely empty of people. We're talking about empty of kalim. So if they don't require those areas for their kalim, then they do not get those areas included in their partitioned off area. Itmar, it was stated, shlosha umet echad mem. What about you have the following case? You have three people and then one of them died. Now you only have two people. They died on Shabbat. Shnayim netosu alehen, right? Or you have two people and one person joined them in the middle of Shabbat. Ravuna v'Rabbi Yitzchak. Chadamar Shabbat goremet, v'chadomer diurin gormin. Right? So one says that Shabbat is what creates the area. At the entrance of Shabbat, you had a legitimate amount. Then it stays that way for all of Shabbat. And one says, no, the residents are the ones who cause the legitimacy of that area. If you have enough residents, then it's going to be allowed. But if you lose a resident, then it's not going to be allowed. Tistayim de Rav Huna, hu de Amar Shabbat goremet. Now, we don't know who said what. We just said one of them says Shabbat Gerimit and one of them says Diorin Gerimim, right? But we don't know who said what. But let's assume that it was Rav Huna who believes that Shabbat is Gerim, that once Shabbat starts, if it was valid at the outset of Shabbat, it's going to be valid for all of Shabbat. Amar Rabba, by Rav Huna, as Rabba said, I asked Rav Huna, by Rav Yehuda, and I also asked Rav Yehuda, Erev Derech Apetach. What if I made an Eruv by the entrance, and then the entrance was closed up on Shabbat? Or I made an Eruv by a window, and then the window was closed up on Shabbat? What's the din there? Amar li Shabbat hoyav hutra hutra. He said to me, Rav Huna said to me, well, at the onset of Shabbat, when it's mutter, it is mutter. So it seems logical to conclude that Rav Huna believes that Shabbat is goremet. If something starts mutter on Shabbat, it continues to be mutter. Atistayim. Yeah, that's a logical conclusion that Rav Huna was the one who believes that Shabbat was goremet. Lima Rav Huna, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Let's say that Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak have the same machloket as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. As we ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, chatzer shenifritza mishtei ruchoteha. If you had a chatzer that was broken on two sides, open on two sides, v'chein bayit shenifritz mishtei ruchot, or a home that was breached on both of its sides, v'chein mavui shenit lu korotav o lechayav, a mavui that lost its crossbeams or its side beams, mutarin loto Shabbat, or mutter for all of Shabbat, vasurin leti, Vasurin latid lavo. However, they may not be used after that. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer. No, they have to be consistent. If they're usher now, if they're going to be usher always, they're usher even now. It doesn't matter that change happened in the middle of Shabbat, right? So maybe they're having the same exact machloket, whereas we're talking about the eruv that was created that became irrelevant, right? Because one of the diurim died, and so we said that is it Shabbat Gorem or is it diurim gormim? Alternatively, we were talking about making an eruv chatzerot with an entrance, and then that entrance was covered up. But it started out Shabbat okay, so maybe it should continue all of Shabbat okay. So maybe that's the exact same machloket here as we're seeing between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, right? Whereas if the two walls become breached at the side of a house, or the side of the alleyway, or the side of a mavoi, or the side of a chatzer, right, then, if it was okay at the beginning of Shabbat, it should be okay now. And if it's not okay at the beginning of Shabbat, if it was okay at the beginning of Shabbat, it will be okay now. That's one of the shitas. The other shitas say that no, even in Shabbat, it can change its status. They seem like the exact same machloket. Lema Rav Huna, Damar Rabbi Yehuda. So we should suggest that Rav Huna says like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Yitzchak Damar Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yitzchak holds like Rabbi Yossi. One says Shabbat Gorem, and so when something's mutter at the beginning of Shabbat, it's mutter. Whereas one says that no, it can change. The status can change on Shabbat, just like Rabbi Yossi says that the status can change on Shabbat. Rabbi Yitzchak also says the status can change on Shabbat. Amar lecha Rav Huna ana damri afilu Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Huna could say to you that no, my Shita can follow even Rabbi Yossi's Shita that says the status can change in the middle of Shabbat. Ad kon lo kama Rabbi Yossi hatam ela delitnu lemechitzot. Hacha itnu lemechitzot. Right? Where Rabbi Yossi was saying that the status changes on Shabbat is when they were mechitzot falling down. Right? That's a huge structural change. That is a major, major change. And I would agree that such a change can create a change on Shabbat. However, where my case of just having a different amount of residence in the chatzer is not a structural change to the chatzer. That's why it doesn't change its status on Shabbat. It started Shabbat okay, and even though there's a change in the middle of Shabbat because one of the diurim died, that's not a major structural change. The partitions are still up. Everything we built is still there. That's when I was saying that there's no change in the middle of Shabbat. But if the mechitzot would fall in, that's a different story altogether. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Anad Amri Afilu L'Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yitzchak would say, I can even be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hatam el adi nil adiurin. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda's case was just in a case where Rabbi Yitzchak basically makes the opposite svara. He says, no, I could even follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because where Rabbi Yehuda says that it would be permitted to carry is when they're the exact same amount of residence as there were when they began Shabbat, right? And that's where he says it's permitted. However, if one of the residents died, there's a different amount of residence, that's a case where there's definitely a change, meaning, it's interesting, right? Because at the beginning, Rav Huna says, no, I could even follow Rav Yossi's Shita because where things would change in the middle is when there were structural changes, right? And they're like the mechitza's falling. Then I would come out on the same side as Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yitzchak says that no, I could fall on the same side of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would say that it only still is permitted on Shabbat when the amount of residents are the same, right? However, when the residents are different, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would say it is no longer permitted, right? So it could be, meaning there's a fundamental difference between these cases. One is talking about a different number of residents, and one is talking about a different structural differences. Now, there's a debate as to which one of those changes are more fundamental, but it's possible to entertain that either one of those changes would have been an influencing factor to Rabbi Yossi or to Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said one thing when structural changes, whereas Rabbi Yehuda said one thing when structural changes happening, he would have said another thing with residents changing, and whereas Rabbi Yossi said one thing when structural changes happen, he may have said a different thing when a resident change happens. The question is, which one is more fundamental? And Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Huna could make an argument that either one is more fundamental. The Chachamim say it just needs either horizontal or vertical. Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that the exact same thing as the Tanakama, who says that only one is necessary? No, there is the following distinction between the Chachamim's Shita and the Tanakama's Shita. If one person is trying to set up a partition in a settled area, meaning this whole time that we were just talking about, if someone was setting up along the way, in the middle of a field somewhere, right? But not a residential area. There's a kula created in a field while he's traveling. But would we be able to rely on the same exact kula when it comes to if he's in a residential area and would not need to rely on these inferior partitions because he has other things at his disposal? So that potentially, no. According to the Chachamim, it is only permitted if it's in a field somewhere. The Tanakama would seem to suggest that they are always okay, even if it's a residential area. Okay, new Mishnah. Arba devarim patru mimachne. There are four things that the rabbis permitted to do in an army encampment, right? There's like four kulas that were permitted only in army encampments. Mevin, etzim, mikol makom, upturim, mirchitat yadayim, umidimai, umila arev. Right? You're allowed to bring trees from anywhere. You don't have to worry that they're stolen trees. And you don't have to wash your hands before you eat bread. And you're allowed to eat demai, which is suffic, produce that may or may not have had truma taken from it. And you don't have to make an eruv. Right? When it comes to a milchama reshut, right? A war that is not over over our authority in Eretz Yisrael, rather a war that does not need to be fought, but we're allowed to go out and fight. That is the encampment where they permitted taking dried wood from any place. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer Ab Chonin Mekol Makom Makom Shenergu Sham Nikbarim. Right? You can even permit the following too. You're allowed to camp anywhere, even on private property. You don't have to be concerned that you're stealing someone's property. And similarly, wherever someone dies, there he can be buried and doesn't have to be removed, taken elsewhere in order to be buried. Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yaveshim. So now let's examine, let's do a little bit more examining of the specific kulot that were mentioned, right? You're allowed to steal dry, we're allowed to basically steal dried wood. We said, hi, Tekatani Yeshua Hava. But isn't, hi, Tekatani Yeshua Hava. Isn't that an explicit Tekana of Yeshua? Why don't need the rabbis to come and permit this? Damar Mar, Asara Tanaim, Hitna Yeshua, Shu Marin, Bechorshin, U Melakdin, Eitzim, Misdoratan. Right? That you're allowed to, take your cattle to graze in, wooded areas, because generally, people don't collect, don't harvest from those areas. And similarly, you're allowed to take wood from any field. That's something that's permitted from everyone, for everyone, not just army encampments. Hatam bihiz mibihigi. That's talking about, inferior types of bushes. Hacha bishar etzim. But whereas the army encampment can take any kind of wood. Inami hatam chubarin. Alternatively, there is talking about attached wood, hacha betlushin. And this is talking about separate wood. Inami hatam bilachin ve hacha biyavesha. Alternatively, there is talking about wet wood, and here it's talking about even dry wood. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer ap chonin mikol makom. They can even encamp anywhere. Umakom shenergin sham nikbarim. And similarly, wherever they're buried, wherever they die, they should be buried. Pshita, meit mitzvah hu, meit mitzvah kone makomo. Obviously, it's a meit mitzvah, right? And the meit mitzvah is kone his area. Wherever he dies, he's allowed to be buried. That's the rule by meit mitzvah. Lo, tricha, av al gav de itle kovrin. Right? No, what we needed to teach is in the following case, even if it's not a meit mitzvah, because he has family members, other people who are there, who can attend to his burial, then he's not Kone Hezmakom. It's only that a mate mitzvah, someone who comes along to bury a random person he doesn't know, he's not responsible for burying, is allowed to bury him where he lies. It's a special din by mate mitzvah. However, if he has yorshim, he has heirs, he has people who are supposed to take care of his burial, then he doesn't just Kone any place that he dies. They're supposed to take him somewhere. However, if he's in the army, then he's Kone Hezmakomo. He can be buried wherever he dies. Netanya, as we learned in the Baraita, Ezu mate mitzvah, kol she'ein lo kovrin, koren v'acherim onin lo, ein ze mate mitzvah. As we taught, who's a mate mitzvah? Anyone who doesn't have people to bury him. However, if he could have called to people and they would come and bury him, that's no longer a mate mitzvah. Who mate mitzvah kanamakom vatanya moti mate mutal besartia mafnein liyamin asartia usmal asartia. Right? But didn't we teach that if a person dies in the middle of a public highway, then you should remove him to the right or to the left? Sde bor usde nir mafnein l'sde bor. Right? If there is an empty field or a plowed field, then you bring him to the empty field to bury him. Sde nir sde zera mafnein l'sde nir. But if there's a plowed field and a planted field, then you bring him to the plowed field. Hayu shte nirot shte zrot shte burot mipnein l'chol ruch shirtze. However, if on either side of the public highway there were two empty fields or two plowed fields or two planted fields, you can put him on each, on any side you want. But why are you removing him at all? He was Kone Mekomo. Amar Rav Bibi, Hachab Met Mutal Al Meitzar Askinan, Midoch Shenitna Reshut Lifnot Mina Meitzar Mafneu L'chol Roch Sheyartze. Right, we're talking about where he died across the length of the width of the entire highway, such that people cannot pass by. Kohanim would not be able to pass by this highway, because if they did, they would become Tameh. So there's permission to move him, and once there's permission to move him, you can move him to any side that you want. Uptur Merchita Yadayim, they're potter from washing their hands. Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu Ela Maim Rishonim. Yeah, it's only when it comes to Maim Rishonim, right? Washing hands before you eat bread. But after the meal, no, that's an obligation. You have to do that. Now, why did they say that it's an obligation to do Maim Achronim? Right? Because you use salt, and there's generally melech sdomit in the salt, and melech sdomit is very powerful. It blinds the eyes if it gets in the eyes, so the chum were very, very careful. Amar Abaye, umishtakha kikurta bechura. Right? And it's damaging, meaning it can cause damage even if you have only one grain, an entire core of salt. If you have just one grain of melech sdomit, it's still damaging enough to blind a person. Amar le rav achabre derav lerav ashi, kail milcha mai. And what if someone was just measuring salt and not actually eating with salt? Would he have to wash her hands? Amar le, hi, let me buy it. Obviously, he'd have to wash his hands. He's dealing with melech sdomit, he could blind himself. Umidumai. When it comes to the permission to eat d'mai, it's not machlim tanim d'mai, v'etachsanai d'mai. You're allowed to feed poor people d'mai, and travelers, meaning traveling soldiers, d'mai. Amar Rav Huna Tana Beit Shammai Omrim en machlim tanim d'mai, v'hil omrim machlim tanim d'mai, v'etachsanai d'mai. It's actually machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hil. Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to feed them d'mai, and Beit Hil says you're allowed to feed them d'mai. Umilar Aref, we said they're pater from making an erev. Amar Debei Rabbi Yanai Lo Shanu Ela Erev Chaser. Only taught they don't have to make an Erev Chatzer, meaning conjoining, or the rabbinic requirement to conjoin two chatzers, rabbinic requirement to conjoin two courtyards to one another in order to carry from one to the other. But in order to make an Eruv that would permit you carrying beyond 2,000 amot, that you certainly still have to do. Detani Rebichia, Lokin al Eruvo Tchumin Devar Torah. That you get lashes for violating the Erev Tchumin because it's Midaraita, right? It's Torah law. Matkifla Rabbi Yonatan challenged that Shita Vichi Lokin al Al, do you really get lashes for this? But it's a type of lotase that's written by al. Generally, where you get lashes is for lo, but not for al, right? So why should you get lashes? Matkiv Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Right, but one second. Do you really believe that wherever it says al, you don't get lashes? But isn't it written by Avodah Zarah? Don't turn towards the Ov and Yedonim, which is also Ov and Yedonim are like a type of sorcery, right? And you clearly get lashes for that, and yet it's written al. Hachanami the low lucky, right? There too, you shouldn't get lashes because it's written al. Do you really maintain that anytime it's written al, you don't get lashes? Rabbi Yonatan hachikashile. No. Rabbi Yonatan was saying as follows. He wasn't saying that the issue is that it's written with al. He was saying the issue is as follows. Lav shenitan lazharet mitat betin. The issue is that it's a lav shenitan lazharet mitat betin v'chol lav shenitan lazharet mitat betin and lokin alav. You don't get lashes for a lav shenitan lazharet mitat betin. Now, what is a lav shenitan lazharet mitat betin? It's basically as follows. In order to get a betin, in order to get punished by the betin for something, there has to be two psukim in the Torah. One that says it's aser, and another that talks about its punishment. So when you have two psukim, one that says that this action is usur, and a second that says that this action gets the following punishment, that the first one, which just looks like a warning not to do it, it doesn't seem like it's punishable by by a capital punishment, let's say. But from the fact that there is another pasuk that talks about the same action that gives a punishment, we see that it is about capital punishment. And so you don't get lashes for a violation of the action. You don't get lashes for a violation of the action because that action is also under the parameters of a punishment from Beit Din, a capital punishment from Beit Din. And so Rabbi Yonatan is challenging that that going out of the tchum, out of the 2,000 amot, was a lavanitan la zarat mitai beitin. Because while there is one pasuk that says you may not leave the tchum, there is another pasuk that punishes someone with a mitai beitin for leaving the tchum. In which case, you can't get lashes for such a thing, because there is a capital punishment for the same exact action. Right? Amar Rav Ashi, miktiv al yotze ktiv. So Rav Ashi says, no, those two pasukim are not talking about the same thing. Right? Where you're talking about where the capital punishment applies, that is by al yotze, right? That's written, that is by not taking anything out of the 2,000 amot. However, by leaving the 2,000 amot, it just says don't go out. The punishment is prescribed for carrying out, whereas the tchumen is prescribed for walking out, right? Where the tzara is prescribed for walking out. So it's not one action with two psukim, one that says it's usur and the other to give you a capital punishment, and therefore you can't get lashes because there's a capital punishment linked to the same action. Rather, one of those psukim is talking about walking out, one of them is talking about carrying out. You get punished for carrying out, you don't get punished for walking out, in which case it's perfectly legitimate that you get lashes for walking out. It's not a lavanita and lazar mitan beitin. Hadran alach mavui. Just finished the first Perek of Erevin. We're going to go ahead and get started on the second Perek. Just do the Mishnah here. Osin pasin le viraot. You can make these boards to partition off a well so that people can come and give their animals to drink and drink water on Shabbat in this area. There's a more makil kind of way of partitioning off that area so that people have access to the well. Because you can't carry from the well, which is Rishut Yachid, to Rishut Rabim, so you have to make the area around it a Rishut Yachid. Arbad yumdin nir ein kishmona. You need four double-sided posts that look like eight, because they're basically eight L's in four corners. Rav Meir says, no, you need eight that look like 12, right? How so? Because you have four double boards and then one single board, arba diumdin v'arba pshutin, right? Four double boards and then four single boards placed in between each double board. And that's how you partition off that area. Govan asar tvachim. And they're 10 tvachim high. Rochban shisha. They're 6 tvachim wide. Ovion kolshu. And their thickness has to be any amount, right? Even the minimum amount. Ubenehen kamilo shati revako shalosh bakar. And between them has to be able to fit two groups of three oxen. Di very Remer, it's Remer Shita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shel Arba, right? Two groups of four, meaning it has to fit eight oxen. Kshurot velumutar, that are tied up and not loose, released. Echad nechneset v'echad yotze, right? And it has to be enough room that one can be leaving while the other one can be coming in. Mutar lahakriv lebe'er. You're allowed to, in the middle of Shabbat, bring these partitions closer to the well. B'vajde para rosh v'ruba b'fnim v'shote. As long as it can still fit a cow, its head and most of its body, to be able to drink inside of it. Meaning the entire cow doesn't have to fit in it, but if you want to make it smaller, most of the cow still has to fit in it with its head. Right? Mutter, right? Then it's allowed. Laharchik kol shehu, and you're allowed to make it a little bit larger on Shabbat, ubavad sheyarbe bepasim, as long as you expand also the borders around it. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad beit satayim. Rabbi Yehuda says you have until the amount of a beit satayim, you're not allowed to make this area around the well bit greater than a beit satayim. Amr lo, this is Rabbi Yehuda, lo amr beit satayim, el legino le karpet. This limit of beit satayim was only applied to a gina and a karpef. Right? Aval im hayat dir o sahar o mukta o chatzer. However, when it comes to an area called a fold or a coral or someone's courtyard or a back courtyard, all those areas, afilu beit chameshet kurin, afilu beit asara kurin mutter. They are allowed to be much greater, even 5 or 10 beit kurin, right? So this limit of 2 beit kur is not applicable here. Umutar lachik koshu b'vad shiyar b'pasin, right? And you're allowed to, similarly, you're allowed to increase the space in between these boards on Shabbat to expand the area around the well as long as you add then and the necessary boards so the gaps are not too big. If the gaps are too big, then you have a problem. However, if you're making the boards further apart, but you make sure the gaps are not too big, meaning the gaps cannot be greater than what would fit the two sets of oxen passing through it, if it were greater than that, then you need to add boards. But you are allowed to distance the boards from one another to expand the territory as long as the gaps you leave in between are not too big. We'll stop here.